Let us come to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, O God, that we spend these next few moments opening our heart, our soul, our whole being to your call upon our lives. To your call upon our lives to take the word out, the gospel, to the people who are hurting. To the people whose lives are searching, but they do not know what they are searching for. Thank you, O God, for teaching us, leading us, and guiding us. In this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So a number of years ago, I heard a story, and that story has stayed with me throughout life. And I'd like to tell it to you. A woman invited Jesus to come to her house for dinner. She spent hours cleaning the house, preparing a very special meal. Today we would say a 5-star Michelin Gordon Ramsay meal. Are any cooks here like that today? And she was anxiously waiting for his arrival. There was a sudden knock at the door, and her heart jumped. Jesus is here. He's arrived. She quickly went to the door, and standing on her doorstep was a child, dirty and ragged looking. And he asked if she could share some food with him, as he was hungry. She was appalled that someone so dirty would be standing at her doorstep, that she informed this child, "Just go down the street. There's a soup kitchen. They will feed you." The child thanked her and left. A little while later, the doorbell rang again, and she quickly went to answer it, hoping Jesus would be there, for her meal was starting to not look so good. But lo and behold, there was an elderly man with no coat, no shoes upon his feet. This elderly man looked into her eyes and said, "Ma'am, would you have an old warm coat and shoes I could wear, for it is quite cold outside?" Again, she was appalled and quickly told him to go down the road to the thrift store and they would help him find the clothes he needed and to please not come back again as she had important company arriving. She was getting quite upset that Jesus was taking so long. What was keeping him? The doorbell rang a third time, and she thought, finally, he's here. She quickly fixed her hair and went to the door, and a young mother was standing at the door with a newborn baby. She looked into the woman's eyes and said, "Do you have some money for me to buy formula and diapers for my baby? I have no money. I am alone. And there's no one to help me." The woman was disgusted that time was being taken up with people like this. "And Jesus, why are you so late in arriving?" She told the young mother to go down the road to the food bank and they could help her. "And please do not return, for I have very important company arriving." The young mother and baby left, and the woman sat down, realizing her meal was cold. Would Jesus ever arrive? A voice spoke to her, "But I did arrive. I came to your door 3 times. I came as a small child, cold and hungry, and asked you for something to eat. You turned me away. I came as an elderly man with no coat, no shoes, and asked if you had an old coat and shoes I could wear, and you turned me away. I came as a young mother with a newborn baby and asked for money to buy formula and diapers. You turned me away the third time." In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, read today, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And of course, the answer, the disciples said, but when, Lord? When did we do that? We do not remember ever helping you in that way. When you helped the least of my disciples, you have helped me. Today's story, this woman was all about herself, her own importance. I've worked in churches or ministered in churches where that same ideology has been there. This is our church. This is the way it's going to be. If someone does enter it, they have to follow our rules, our regulations. What was Jesus about? She did not show what discipleship was about in Jesus' mind or in his teachings. About a year ago, I worked as a custodian in Olds at a church. I do not think anyone knew I was an ordained minister, not that that should have been important. I was a child of God trying to make a worship space clean for God's people together on Sunday morning. A gentleman and his son walked in, strong-looking young men. I was having trouble trying to take apart the hose in the vacuum cleaner, and I asked this father and son if they could help me. I knew that he was on the church board. He looked down at me and said, I do not have time to do that. That is your job. I have more important things to do. I was appalled and tried every way not to cry. I was in such shock that a person of a church board would not help me. I immediately thought about this story that I was going to be relating today. And if I had not already been a Christian and accepted the Lord as my Savior at a very young age, I do not think I would have ever walked back into a church again. According to his theology, or lack of. We do not know when we say words to people or when we meet them, how we respond to them, does that leave a lasting impression in their lives? I remember my father taking me down to the Miramichi River. I don't know if anybody's ever had the privilege of walking along the Miramichi River or fishing for salmon and trout. And I remember one day he said, I want to teach you a lesson, Jenny. I said, okay, lots of lessons, Dad. And he said, I want you to take a rock and I want you to do this. Well, it kind of went kaplop, and I did it a few times, and finally it worked, and it glided across the water. He said, what's happening to the water? What do you observe and see? I said, it's going like this. It's rippling. He said, that's right, Jenny. And that's what our words are like. When we speak to other people in the way we greet them or do not greet them, leaves a lasting impression on their lives. We can choose to introduce somebody to the Lord, or we can choose not to. But when we do choose, that ripple effect even goes wider and wider. Because as people come into a relationship with Jesus, they yearn and want to go out and share that relationship with others. So the disciples said, when did we do these things for you? Or maybe we're asking the same questions today. Lord, when did we do these things for you? When in our lives did we ever show care for you, Lord? Of course, the answer comes back that they served the Lord every time they cared for others. When they cared for little ones, like the baby and the young mother, they performed loving deeds for Jesus. They did not realize that each time they showed care to another being, they showed care to Jesus. A number of years ago, there was a number of TV shows depicting angels who God sent to teach and instruct humans incorrect behavior. They were unrecognized as angels, and humans did not recognize them, and towards the end of the show, And one of these shows that I loved watching was Highway to Heaven. Do any of you remember that show? Yes, starring Michael Landon. The premise of each, to some degree, was that angels were passing among human beings unrecognized, while they intervened to correct behavior, set things right, ready people to face God. The greatest teaching in these shows were recognizing God's face in the face of others, and knowing and being reassured that we are not alone, we live in God's word, and we are God's people. God is always and forever present. So when we do something nice or caring for another, that care is sent to God. How do we view others among us? Do we invite all to enter a church community? Do we scorn or look down at others if they do not have as much? Do we see all people we meet each day on our path as our brothers and sisters in God's family? Or do we only accept certain people that do not make us feel uncomfortable? And when I felt a call into the ministry, my great uncle, the Reverend Dr. Victor Walls, said to me one day, "The greatest job that God will give you as a minister is to make the uncomfortable comfortable and the comfortable uncomfortable." So another story that I'd like to share by Reverend Gary Walling. Now, I studied him when I was in seminary, and he's an Episcopalian minister down in the States. And he shares the story of dropping his daughter off at college. Now, have any of us done that? Yeah. It's a pretty scary feeling and sad. And I remember the first day I started school, my mother could not walk me to school because she was crying too hard. My dad had to come home from work and take me to school. So I can only imagine what it's like when we send them off on their own to university or college. So she's on her own for the first time. And he says, "I found this painful as her father, for I am not there to care for her in things large and small, giving her the car keys or giving her a smile or making her favorite meal. That is why I understand how any soul extends kindness towards my child has put me into debt. Giving her a ride, walking with her to her dorm, keeping her safe, taking her to dinner, and caring for her in a thousand ways, each time she's cared for, I, as her father, feel I am in debt to that person. The kindness occurs not just in the presence of the father. Indeed, the most appreciated presence occurs in the absence of the father." Walling goes on to teach, "We have it within us as we come into relationship with Christ that Christ calls us to action, to care and to share with others who are in need, not just the spiritual needs, but the physical needs." So I don't want to take away from anybody being able to share. I want to thank each of you for doing that this morning, because many times we don't share our story. And I believe that sharing stories finds healing, especially people who have lost loved ones, and they begin to share stories, and you can see their shoulders lifting up, and there's kind of resurrection and new life in them as they share about the lost one. So sharing our stories are important. Each person that comes through the door each Sunday brings your own stories, your own history, and the people that have impacted your life, and how that impact impacts others. And that's that. I hope that you will think, when you go home today, think about the people that maybe you have helped coming into a relationship with Jesus, but also helping them in the physical needs that they are struggling with. And I would tell you that you all can't be Mother Teresa, and you can't save the world. But you can bring the smile to somebody who's hurting. You can bring new life and new resurrection. Becoming a disciple and being called by God is not easy. And make no mistake about it. It's hard precisely because it is not what most people are trying to do. It is challenging, and that means one of the pitfalls may be that we are prone to feel sorry for ourselves. I can't believe that God has called me to do this ministry. I can't do it. You can, and God believes in you. God believes in you many times when we do not believe in ourselves. We are not alone, and not everyone will bow at the feet of Jesus, but many will, and many will say, "Here I am, Lord, and I am here today because this person led me to you. This person led me to you. I am willing, O God, to be your eyes, your ears, your hands, and your feet. Here I am, Lord, willing to follow in your footsteps and serve you, in serving others, especially the stranger. Here I am, Lord." When we accept Jesus into our hearts, we are welcome because we carry Jesus' love within our soul, within our whole being. We are saved, and I love this word, we are sanctified. We are cherished and held in Jesus' arms of grace and mercy. And people will recognize Christ within our souls and within our actions. And I had a woman come to me one day. She called and asked if she could come for a visit. She says, "Reverend, I don't know what it is about you, but I just felt like I needed to come and talk to you." She needed the Lord. And she needed someone to hear her story, not to judge her. I find many times Christians judge easily. Jesus doesn't judge us. Jesus loves us. We are called to go out into the Word and be a servant of God and of others. And this morning, do you hear that call? Are you willing to accept and receive Christ's love if you have not? My prayer for you today is to be not afraid, to draw nigh to Christ, for Christ is drawn nigh to you. Thanks be to God. And everyone said, Amen. Let us come to God in a time of prayer. God of love and acceptance, thank you for loving us. We give you thanks that you created us worthy to be loved, cared for, and that you have gathered us in your arms of mercy and grace. You call us sons and daughters, your heirs to your throne. We ask that you continue to teach us the gift of hospitality and acceptance to all that walk through our doors, into our homes, and into the sanctuary of your holy presence. We give you thanks that you call each of us into different areas of ministry. And we ask that you continue to teach us to discern your will upon our lives and that of the church. We pray today for people that are hurting around the world, especially, O God, people who have gone through so much from the tornadoes right close to us. We give you thanks that there are people willing to step forward and have fundraisers to help. God, we pray for the people of Ukraine and all that they've been going through. And this morning, O Lord, we pray for Russia too, and for their leader and leaders. We ask, O God, that you could touch their lives and help them to see that the people that they are oppressing are their brothers and sisters. Today, O God, I pray for the church board here. I ask that each member of that board has taken the time to discern your will and call upon the life of this church. I ask, O God, that you be with the candidate or candidates, and that you continue to lead and guide them in your way. Help us, O God, to set aside our own wills, our own wants, and asking you, God, what is it you want in my life and in the life of this precious church? God, I give thanks for all the children in this area that will be part of this children's program, and the leaders and the families that these children come from, that you would touch their lives, maybe through the touch of the child. Help us, O God, never to give up on any child or any person that needs our help. Help us to discern how to empower them, not to enable them, but how to teach them to care for themselves and to make a living and do the things that they need to do as your child. Continue to be with us throughout this week. Continue to lead and guide us in your way. And I pray right now, O God, for each person sitting here. Lord, be with them in their times of struggles and needs, heartbreaks. Wrap your loving arms around them. Show them that they are not alone. And God, today we celebrate so many things, the crops that are coming up, the rain that has fallen, the majestic mountains, the birds that sing and welcome us in the early morning dawn. Thank you, O God, for sending your Son, Jesus, to show us your way, to transform our lives, and to save our souls. Thank you, O God, for all that you have bestowed upon us. In this we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.